The church is a body of believers that have a part to play in seeing God's kingdom come to earth. And even though all of us are unique in our giftings and our callings, working with one another is how the world is transformed. Love is a glue that holds the church together, and love should motivate us to contribute sacrificially with all we have and to share God's love with others. You see, God gave us the gifts and talents to make a difference in the world. And so we should not waste energy comparing ourselves to others. For instance, I can't do what he does on the piano, nor would I even attempt it. So why should I waste energy trying to figure that out when he's gifted with that? Or for somebody else? We were made for purpose. I didn't tell you in advance I was doing that as a sermon illustration, sorry. When we follow God's plan for our lives, we can help others live a more enriching life. Discovering the gifts that God has given us, considering ways that we use the gifts to bless the community and grow in faith. Well, today we are at the end of a sermon series called Rooted, and some folks might say, thank goodness she's done. Well, where we have been discovering the benefits of developing deep foundational roots. We looked at how rooting ourselves and sharing means that we look for any and every opportunity to tell others about the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and how we can become ambassadors for God's kingdom here on earth. Then we talked about how rooting our lives in faith can transform us and help us live lives that honor God and bless others around us. Our faith is shown to the world by the fruit of our lives. And last week we took a deep dive into being rooted in prayer and Bible study to grow into the people God created us to be. Oh, how God's timing is perfect. This past week, Verna shared last week about prayer journaling. And so this past week, we were able to develop a prayer journal. And if this is something that you would like to have as part of your spirituality, your spiritual journey, by all means, see Verna or grab one at the back and start journaling your prayers and your answers to prayers and scripture that speak to you. Those of you who have attended the Sunday Bible studies, next week, Romans starts as per your request. You're on. You're it, Ken Percy. So after church, gathering together, have a coffee and a snack, and then share in God's Word together. So read Romans. Start reading Romans this week. Start reading Romans this week and see where God is leading you. This week we will talk about the beauty of the church, its faith runners, and the joy of being rooted in community. Now, has anyone ever visited the Redwood Forest in the U.S.? I haven't either. Harry, have you been to the Redwood Forest? California, yeah. Oh, you've been there too. Okay, learned something new today. I've only seen pictures. But they cannot possibly capture their greatness. These huge redwood trees in California are amazing. They are the largest living things on earth and the tallest trees in the world. Some of them are over 300 feet tall and over 2,500 years old. And one would think that the trees are, because they're so large, they must have a tremendous root system that reaches down deep into the earth to keep them upright and strong. But you know what? The redwoods have a surprisingly shallow root system. If you got down on your knees at the base of the tree, you would find that all the roots are intertwined with each other. They are locked into each other. And when the storms come, When the winds blow and the lightning flashes, the redwoods remain firm. The trees support and protect each other. And each tree is important to all the other trees in the grove. Every one of us is vital to the life of the church. The Bible speaks about the way God designed us for God's conversations and connection. That when we are rooted in community, we are a blessing to others in need. We can have a powerful impact on the world around us when churches partner with one another to join in God's mission. And so God invites us this morning to know and play our parts. Know and play our parts. In Romans, let's look up Romans chapter 12. Romans, Paul encourages the church to play its part in the family of God. His words are as helpful and insightful today as they were then. Romans chapter 12. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the message of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouragement, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. This passage begins with life-changing advice. Paul told his listeners to think of themselves with sober self-assessment. And some of us have completed the most recent natural church development assessment regarding the health of the church. And as we look at different items that affect the development of the church, as we look at its mission and its focus, we have intentionally created spaces for discipleship and growth. Focusing on small groups, ones, twos together, for connection and growth. Now, what is one of the all-time favorite toys? One that has stood the test of time?
Hot Wheels.
What?
Hot Wheels.
Sorry, Stephen?
Hot Wheel cars,
yes, they have. But these little things, they can be painful if they're thrown on the floor. Lego, and you step on them, right? Maybe I should have done that today, right? I don't know. That was an afterthought. But when we pull the Lego out, that was right in the microphone. My apologies to those listening online. When we pull the Lego out, we search for the right pieces. Especially if there's instructions in the manual and it's a designated Lego. I was FaceTiming with Amanda last night and she had just put together a Harry Potter one. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. But she had to follow the instructions. And I am sure that if she'd gotten to the end of the Lego and one piece didn't fit, she would have had to start all over again and go back. Begin retrace the steps because the set could not be whole without it being all in one piece. The same is true in the church. We are all a piece. We can be blue, we can be red, we can be yellow, we can be orange, we can be different. I know you all want to go through this bucket right now, don't you? We can be all different colors and sizes and shapes, but on their own, they're nothing. On their own, they don't work together in community. It's an isolated person. But I get to play with Lego. If we start to put them together. Piece by piece. Should have changed glasses while I was doing this. Piece by piece. By piece. No semblance of order. Just want to make a tower. Oh, lots of yellows in there. This is practice for playing with my granddaughter this week. And then every piece just keeps added and added. No matter the size, no matter the shape. Till it becomes strong. Till it becomes strong. We are all a piece, but we're not a whole. But without each one of us, the church is incomplete. Paul explained why this was important. Paul explained why this was important. It's because God's gifted each person with a unique set of skills and talents that complement the gifts of others. Alone, we can go fast, but together, we can go far. I believe that God is calling us to discover, rediscover the gifts that He has given to us. Maybe that's a step for the leadership team in the new year to focus on. There is a book that's part of the Natural Church Development process that I received this week, actually. It's called The Three Colors of Your Gifts, where you determine, you know, what are the gifts that God has given to us. You see, God has given different gifts to different people. Speaking prophetic words, ability to teach and to preach, the gift of encouragement, the ability to be incredibly generous. Whatever it is that God has placed inside of you, we are to know our parts and play our parts humbly. When everyone does this, the church becomes a witness to the love and power of God. You see, love roots us in community. Paul explained the motivation behind the communal relationships that make up our witness to the world, and it's simply love. Sincere love makes us authentic. We could read in the next few verses there in that chapter in Romans. It seeks out and destroys evil. It keeps us committed to showing up in one another's lives. Love helps us put others' needs ahead of our own, the same way Jesus did on the cross on behalf of us. Loving others doesn't mean love makes us excited to serve God and to serve others. Loving others doesn't mean we change our biblical standards or beliefs. I love the way Paul ended this portion of his letter. He told his listeners to practice hospitality. How do you see hospitality shown in this church? People saw God in their greatest time of need because they were people who were helped. When we demonstrate love to people around us, it changes things. It makes an invisible God visible to people who are far from Him. Love should be our go-to. I was talking with Marge earlier this week, and she made the comment about Cafe Connection and how someone had said, well, it's different here. It's different here. And I said, well, what makes it different? What makes it different? Love. Love makes it different. We don't do life alone either. When the early church began to form after Jesus' death and resurrection, it faced all kinds of trials. There was stress of living life in a culture opposed to faith in Jesus. There was intense persecution, and out of necessity, the people inside of the church had to bond together to help each other because God's vision for His people was never for them to do life alone. This past week, as we met for prayer on Wednesday at 2, feel free to join in any day. Verna referenced Acts chapter 2 and 42. She did not know that this was part of the sermon this week. But that's God at work, isn't it? They devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together. In the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And what did God do? What did God do? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In this passage, we see one of the clearest and most honest views of what it was like to be part of the early church. They gathered for fellowship. They gathered for teaching. They gathered for eating. They gathered for worship. Sounds just like us, doesn't it? Their faith was central to their daily lives. They were witnesses to the amazing and miraculous things. I mean, we could all tell stories of how people that we have known have looked one after one another, and their roots are intertwined, the roots of their lives have intertwined together. How we've provided for others' needs together. How we meet the needs of the community. I love the fact, and I know I say this so often, I love the fact now that when folks are standing in line at the food bank, they're coming in for coffee and a conversation before we even get the sign out. I love that. That means that we have not forgot our purpose. We are a place of hope. Guided by a heart for God, have a mission for outreach built on prayer for a community where everyone is cared and for and loved. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? If it doesn't, it should, because it's the mission statement of our church. It's out in the foyer. It's on our website. It's at the bottom of my emails that I send out, which I hope everyone reads. It's easy to lose sight of the purpose and mission that God has given us. We are called to help and serve a broken and lost world. It is not easy, but it is our high calling. And here is the most important aspect of this passage. It was because of their community prayer and witness that the church grew. It is because of their community prayer and witness that the church grew. Day after day after day, there were people outside the family of God who were being added and saved by faith. Why do you think that happened? Because they saw the results of living faithfully for God. They wanted to be a people devoted to Bible study, to fellowship, to prayer, to connection, to serving. And Ken referenced earlier what kind of wind is in our sails. Is it pretty calm and moving nowhere? I witnessed that when Ken had his sail up on the kayak. He just wasn't going anywhere. But as soon as he put the sail up, the wind took hold. Off he went down to Bob Cajun. No, just that's not quite as far as that. But you get my drift. You get my drift. What kind of witness are we sending to the outside world? Are we living in the kind of community that would cause others to want to be a part of this? I believe we are. I believe we are. Is our community and world a better place because we meet on Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturday, and we start the week off again? Would the people in our neighborhood miss us if we ever had to close the doors? Would they miss us? Would they miss our expression of Christianity? Would they miss our spirituality? Would they miss our faithfulness to God? When we live as a community rooted in love and humility, the answer will undoubtedly be yes. So what is it for you today? What kinds of gifts and talents and skills could you leverage to serve your community and the world? Why is humility so important in being a community of service-oriented people? What is one need in your community that the church could help with? What is one need in this community? We are a place of hope. We do everything we do, no matter how insignificant it might seem. It's a small act of kindness. We are a place of hope. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Do you see that? We are guided by a heart for God. We have a mission for outreach built on prayer for a community where everyone is cared for and loved. Yes, the methods and the methodologies might change. In a couple Saturdays' time, we're having a vendor market here. Over 40 vendors being part of a vendor market. What an opportunity to reach the community. What an opportunity to reach the community. And so many other different things. All because we are a place of hope. So where do you see that hope today? Where do you see that hope? Are we like the early church? Oh God, may we be so. May we be so. Devoting ourselves to prayer and Bible study. And I'm just about done. Devoting ourselves to prayer and Bible study. That's our focus. I'm leading more one-on-one small groups than I ever have in my officership. That's amazing. It's because people are growing, want to grow in the Lord. And those who know me well, that's not something that I do. I did. Or I love doing it. But God brings about and sees where the focus needs to be. When we devote ourselves to Bible study and prayer, which in turn turns into fellowship and connection. Where do you sit this morning? As we just quietly listen to the music, and we're going to sing All That I Am, All I Can Be. Maybe this morning you want to, I don't know, maybe you want to grab a piece of Lego. Not because it's a piece of Lego, but because it represents you. Maybe you want to grab that piece of Lego and just say, "Here, God, this is me. I want to be part of a firm foundation. I want to be part of a church that is rooted in love. It's rooted in faith, it's rooted in community." Maybe you want to add two pieces. Who knows? Maybe you want to extend it and go a little differently. Doesn't have to be built square, does it? Because God stretches us out of our comfort zone. So just as the music plays, and if you want to do that, there's no pressure. I don't mind if no one comes and does it. It's just a tangible way of just publicly saying, "Lord, I want to be a piece. I don't want to be an individual Lego. I want to have a purpose. I want to have a purpose." And as you do that, maybe stand and pray, kneel and pray. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you want to come and say, "Lord, I want to be that peace. I want to have that right relation with you. I want to accept you as my Savior and Lord and know that my sins have been covered by Jesus' blood. Then come and stand. Come and kneel. Someone will pray with you. But I leave this to the work of the Holy Spirit, who is at work in our lives. Let's just sing it together.